Part 1. Chapter 1. Gloucester. In the time it took Godiva to wrest a concession from the young man, she could have as easily spun a skein of yarn. She did not much like spinning yarn. Wresting concessions from young men, however, was agreeable enough. Gloucester's dank great hall proved especially agreeable for concession wresting. This was her third today. But Swain, who was absurdly handsome and had the intensity of a catamount, was her perennial favourite. At the moment, she had him against a wall. The hall was full, bustling with men and women of rank, and he was certain they were all laughing at him.
"I concede that perhaps,"
Swain allowed, at last,
"accidentally, my herders might have strayed over the border. A bit. In that one valley."
"Thus accounting for," she prompted.
"Thus accounting for mercing sheep," he acknowledged. "Ending up as mutton on Herefordshire's tables."
Her golden green eyes, framed by her glittering veil, blinked expectantly. This was about more than poached mutton, and they both knew it, but each hoped to avoid saying so outright.
"And, of course, I shall make amends for that," he said urgently into the silence.
The Countess Godiva relaxed and smiled.
"In what manner?"
"If you give me an accounting of the missing flocks, I will replace them."
"That's an excellent beginning," she approved. With confiding tone, she added, "But he'll want more than that as recompense."
"Of course."
"Of course."
Swain watched her sparrow-like hand flutter toward the spot on his chest where his leather cloak hung open. She watched him watching her. She could smell the mix of pleasure and dismay her movement elicited in him. It was a scent she was familiar with.
"Lady Countess, pray but tell me what he wants."
She stood up straighter, enough that he could breathe without inhaling her perfume. She clasped her hands together at her heart, her bracelets clinking importantly against her necklaces. "I suspect he shall like to hear that you will express your regret and replace the missing sheep twice over. That would be so very generous of you."
"Well, 'tis nothing,"
said Swain, trying to maintain a shred of dignity.
"And I think perhaps building palisades or earthworks that are defensible from our side, not yours, just to remind your naughty shepherds not to wander so far into Leofric's land again."
He stiffened, resisting as she looked at him with one fine pale eyebrow cocked in warning. He frowned.
"Shall I call him over to ask if he would like that, or shall you trust my judgment on it?"
Her fingers probed between the two sides of his cloak, coming to rest delicately beneath them on the decorative scene of his tunic. He pulled away, as if shocked by the touch.
"I'll build the palisades," he offered, almost desperately.
"And sign your mark to such a promise? Just so there is no confusion as to what we have discussed?"
"Yes," he growled.
"And might you show me the progress, if we meet seasonally at the border?"
"Very well,"
he said, a chastised child.
"Lovely," she said.
She moved her small hand so that the flat of her palm rested on his chest. He inhaled sharply, at which she smiled apologetically. Then, unnecessarily lowering her voice, she added,
"What a shame Leofric will not be able to join us. Will you mind terribly a rendezvous with me alone?"
"You alone with half a dozen of your husband's armed men, Countess, and no doubt a priest."
"I shall send them all on an errand for an evening," she whispered.
"Your methods of persuasion should be outlawed,"
Swain said.
"And I am not the only one to think so."
His handsome head nodded slightly to his right, and she glanced in that direction without quite turning her head. When she saw whom he referred to, she pulled away from him on reflex almost guiltily. The redoubtable Abbess of Leominster was eyeing them from the holy corner of the King's drab wattle and daub hall, where all the religious congregated between sessions of the Great Council. Godiva could tell it was the Abbess by her remarkably erect carriage
and because there was no decoration whatsoever on her garments, hanging shapeless and dark about her. It was too dim to read the face superior, what little of it showed, but Godiva, knowing her so well, could guess her thoughts.